You with us. It's great to have you here. Let's pray and we'll open up God's word together. God, you are good and your word is good. And so we pray now you would give us ears that are ready to hear what you have to say and a heart that is changed and lives that are transformed. And we pray this for your glory. Amen. Well, let me show you the next piece of technology that you're going to be wanting to purchase. It's available for pre-order now, coming out early next year. It's called Friend. It's up on the screen. Friend is an AI necklace. Hangs around your neck, listens to your interactions, knows who you're talking to, and is your friend wherever you go. How's that? There's a really fancy ad where there's a girl on her own. She's eating a falafel sandwich. And Friend texts her and says, "How's the falafel?" And then there's another scene with a guy. He's gaming some mates and he's losing. And Friend contacts him and says, "You're getting thrashed." Well, the creator was interviewed about this just a few weeks ago. And he said this. This is what he said. I quote, "My AI friend has become the most consistent relationship in my life." There you go. $150 Australian. Pre-orders are open now. Now, I saw that. I was a bit shocked by it. But then I Googled and realized there's actually heaps of AI friend apps already on the App Store with thousands of reviews. And I think that reveals something, doesn't it? It reveals that as a culture, we are longing for friendship. And it is becoming harder than ever before to have deep and meaningful friendships. The statistics show that we've got less friends today than we did 30 years ago on average. The World Health Organization has said that there's a crisis of loneliness. A crisis of loneliness, and it's actually bad for our health. It's the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's what the World Health Organization says. Our friendships are becoming more like acquaintances. We need friends. Now, why is it getting so hard? Why is it getting so hard to have good, deep friendships? It could be technology that we fool ourselves in thinking we've got friendships as we scroll through social media, when really we're just giving updates. It's not the same as sitting with someone face to face. It could be because we're so busy. You know, we're busier than ever before, and it's hard to have friendships. It could also be because we're so mobile as a society. More than any other generation before us, we'll move to another city or move to another country for a job, and we leave behind our friends, we leave behind our church, we leave behind our relationships. Friendship's hard. It's been said that Jesus' real miracle was having 12 close friends in his 30s. I relate to that as I've gotten older. It's hard. And my guess is in this room tonight, there's different experiences. There'll be people here who have a great experience with friendships. They've had wonderful friends. And of course, there'll be people here who feel lonely, have had friends who've betrayed you, or maybe you realize that you're not that great a friend yourself. What does God say about friendship? There's lots of friendships in the Bible. There's Naomi and Ruth. There's David and Jonathan, who we saw in the first reading. Such good mates that when they said goodbye, they wept together. There's Paul and Timothy. There's Jesus and his disciples. There's Jesus and his friend Lazarus. And what is clear in the Bible is that you and I, we were made for friendship. When God made Adam, the first human in the Garden of Eden, God looked at him and said, "It is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for Adam to be alone." And so God brings out the elephant, he brings out the tiger, he brings out the mosquito, he brings out all the animals, and one by one, God says, no, that's not going to do, that's not going to do. Even brings out the dog, you know, human's best friend. No, yeah, I know people love pets, but even then, it's not going to do. He needs more than just a pet. God knows he needs a person. And that's because we were made in the image of God. Here's some deep theology. God is Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. All of eternity, God has been in relationship. Life has been shared between the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. And so we were made to be like God, which means we were made for relationship. When you're sitting around a table having a laugh with some friends, that is what you were made for. For friendship. J.C. Ryle, he says this beautiful line. He says, friendship halves our troubles and doubles our joys. What a good line. Friendship halves our troubles, it doubles our joys. It halves our troubles. How many of you have been through experiences where life has been hard for you and you've been struggling, and a friend invites you over or a friend encourages you and you walk away and you go, that's exactly what I needed. That's exactly what I needed. I feel like my burden has been lifted in some kind of way. And friendship doubles our joys. You know, you come across a funny meme and you laugh, and what do you want to do? You want to share it because you want others to laugh as well. Because that's what friendship does. It doubles the joy. So how do we be a good friend? How do we find a good friend? How do we be a good friend? Tonight we're going to look at five pieces of practical wisdom from the Bible about how as Christians we can be a good friend, we can find a good friend. And here's the first one. To be a good friend, we got to firstly choose our friends carefully. Choose our friends carefully. My oldest son is starting primary school next year. And it's a crazy thought. And Christine and I are going through the normal anxieties that parents feel, I'm sure. We're thinking, how's he going to go? Is he going to make friends? Are people going to like him? Is he going to get in with some good friends? Or the wrong crowd? Because that's the thing with friendship. Who you hang out with often shapes who you become. Up on the screen is Proverbs chapter 13. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Or Proverbs 22 says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn from their ways and get yourself ensnared. You see, if the friends you are always hanging out with are always making stupid decisions, chances are you might be likely to make stupid decisions yourself. If the friends you hang out with are always gossiping, always sharing things behind other people's backs, you're going to be tempted to be a gossip. If the friends you hang out with are always objectifying women and talking about women in disrespectful ways, that's going to shape how you view women. If the friends you hang out with in your lunch break are obsessed with work and they're always talking about money, they're always talking about career, that's going to shape your heart. Or if your friends always complain, grumble about their husband or their wife or their job or their uni course, grumble, grumble. That negative heart, it's going to rub off on you. That's why picking the right friends is so important. And the question for us as Christians is, do our friends help us follow Jesus? Of course, you know, we don't just want to have friends that are Christians, but do we, if we honestly look at our lives, have we got friends about which we can say, I am growing as a Christian because of them? Friends that spur you on in your faith, who build you up, who are spiritual friends. I think the greatest story of friendship, one of them, is Lord of the Rings. You know, Frodo's setting out to go to Mordor to destroy the ring. And Samwise Gamgee says, and I'm coming with you. And if you know the story, Sam is a great friend, isn't he? He's a great friend. And if it wasn't for him, the ring wouldn't have been destroyed. Frodo wouldn't have made it. And as Christians, we need friends like that who say, I'm gonna come with you. I'm going to back you. I'm going to be by your side, helping you get to the finish line in this Christian walk, helping you keep living for Jesus. I'm going to ask you the hard questions. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you. I am here for you to spur you on. You got friends like that? Number two, if we want to be good friends, we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional. There's a lady called Bronnie Ware. She is an Australian palliative care nurse. So in her job, she has been with people on their deathbed for decades. That's her job. She's written this best-selling book called The Top Five Regrets of the Dying. And she talks about the common five regrets people have on their deathbed. And you know what one of them is? I wish I'd kept up with my friends. Because that's the thing with friendship. It doesn't just happen. Maybe it does in primary school or high school. But as you go up into adult life and you get older, it takes effort. It takes intentionality. You're busy with work. It takes intentionality to make time for friendship. For those of you who are married, being intentional so that your husband can hang out with his mates and your wife can hang out with her mates, because actually your marriage is going to be better because of it. It's being intentional as you go about your normal life. Just think, well, who can I invite to join me? As I go to the playground with the kids, or as I watch the game, or as I go shopping, or as I go and who can I bring with me to share life with me? At church, how can we be intentional? Well, I speak to many people who don't feel connected at church. And often, if I'm going to be honest, it's because they leave straight after church ends. Service ends and they're gone. But it really is hard to join a church, and so it does take intentionality. Talking to people, going out for dinner, joining a connect group, inviting people into your home or to social events. Because church is not just this drive-through where you come and then you leave. It's a family gathering. It's coming to church and being intentional about who you can be a friend to. It might be that person that sits on their own. It might be the single parent. It might be the widow. It might be the person who is just different and doesn't fit in, or the newcomer. And you say, I'm gonna be intentional to be a friend to this person. And it's being intentional with friendships of people outside church, people who aren't Christians. And not just because they're a project, not just because you want to get them saved, you want to see them converted. I mean, we do want to see our friends become Christians, of course. But we're not just friends with them because they're projects. We're friends with them because we love them and we want to be their friend. You see, our friendship, it doesn't just happen. It takes time, effort, intentionality. It's going to be different for different people. Some of you are extroverts, but some of you are introverts. You have less friends, but they're far deeper. Some of you go through different seasons of life where friendships are easier, friendships are harder, of course. But that intentionality is a mark of a good friend. Number three, friends, they give advice and they give correction. Listen to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice." Our friends, they know us, don't they? They know us. They know who you are. They know your strengths. They know your shortcomings. And so the Bible says a wise person wants to hear the advice of friends. Advice of godly friends. Because they might see things you may not have seen. And so if you're thinking of dating someone or getting engaged, find a few godly friends and say, "Please tell me the honest truth. Please, I want the honest truth. Give me your godly wisdom here. Should I date this person?" You're thinking of taking a job in another state or wherever it might be. Ask your godly friends. Give me some advice here. Speak into my life. I give you permission. And this also means being ready to hear hard things from your friends. Proverbs 27. It's on the screen. It says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." When your friend says something to you that's challenging, maybe they correct you or they challenge you from God's word and say, "I'm not sure you're living in obedience to Jesus here or making a wise decision here," it wounds you, doesn't it? It wounds you. It's hard to hear. But a wound from a friend, that passage says, can be trusted. It's a wound out of love to grow you. And so actually the godly person, the wise person, actually craves that wisdom and advice and correction and has encouraged it. "Speak into my life, please. Give your permission to tell me not just what I want to hear, but what I need to hear." Number four, friends are loyal. Friends are loyal. My daughter, Hannah, she's in this habit at the moment where if she doesn't get what she wants, she crosses her arms and goes, "I'm not going to be your friend anymore." She does that to me if I don't give her a second cookie. "I'm not going to be your best friend, Dad." What's she doing? The kids' leaders know the attitude of my daughter at the moment. Yeah. What's she doing? She's trying to manipulate us. And for her, friendships come and go based on whether you're giving me what I want or whether you're not. But a true friend doesn't just kind of move on quickly from friendship to friendship. A true friend is loyal, sticks with it, has your back. And yeah, there's going to be times when seasons change and a close friend becomes an acquaintance. And of course, but as a general rule, we want to be loyal friends. Proverbs 18 on the screen. "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother." We don't want unreliable friends. We want friends that are so loyal, they stick closer than a brother. I remember I had a friend in early uni, and I realized in hindsight that I was just a stepping stone for him. He was my friend for what he got out of our friendship. And so when push came to shove and things got hard, or when he'd kind of gotten out of it what he wanted, he moved on. I was so hurt by it. That's a consumer friendship, where it's a friendship based on what I get out of it, rather than just being a friend because you enjoy them. Here's how you know if you've got a loyal friend. You know you've got a loyal friend when you go through the hard times. Because when you're in suffering, it might actually be hard to be your friend if you're suffering. You may not have much to offer. When you're at your lowest point, you may not have much to give. That's when you can tell who your loyal friends are. Those who stick with you even when you've got nothing to give and at your very worst. Are you that kind of friend to others? Loyal. Closer than a brother. Number five. You want to be a good friend. You need to know the perfect friend. Some of you who are in your mid-30s to early 40s, I'm going to say, around my age, you will remember the wonder of MySpace. Anyone here had a MySpace? Stick up your hand. It's the wrong crowd. A few of you. Few of you, I feel old. Anyway, well, you know, people laughing in the morning because they remembered it. But let me tell you about MySpace. Oh, my goodness. You had to, you got your, you know, your fancy profile page. You had to order your friends. You had to rank them. And so you went onto someone's profile. I know, how toxic is that? You had to go on someone's profile and you had to pick your 9 friends and rank them. And I remember just being anxious about, okay, who's my number 1? Who's my number 2? Who's my number 3? And you go and hang out with some friends. And you come back, you turn on MySpace, find you've been bumped from position 3 to number 4. What'd I do wrong? This is true. Oh, insecurity, oh man. It's a crazy idea thinking like, who's my best friend? You know, kids do it. Who's my best friend? Because, you know, let's be honest, every friend that we have, they're all going to fail us. I mean, the things we talked about tonight, none of them are loyal perfectly. None of them are honest perfectly. They all fail us. And some of you have felt that. But listen to what Jesus says. John 15. He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. And just think about that. The God who made the world calls you his friend. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who flung the stars into space, calls you his friend. He's a friend who knows you better than you know yourself. Better than any of your friends know you. In fact, he's a friend that sees even the worst parts of you. The parts you want no one else to know about. He sees them and still wants to be your friend. He's a friend who is empathetic, who understands all your problems and cares. He's a friend you can always talk to in prayer. He's a friend who's always with you. J.C. Ryle, he says, no one need ever say, I have no friend to turn to, so long as Christ is in heaven. I mean, you might be feeling alone as you battle sickness or mental illness or opposition or failure. But you are not alone, because Jesus, your friend, he's with you. He'll never abandon you. And he's a friend whose friendship will endure forever. One writer says this. He says, if you don't end up joining him in the ages to come in heaven, he will miss you because you're his dear friend. Let me ask you, is that how you think about Jesus? Maybe you're here tonight and you're new to church, you're new to Christianity, and the idea of calling God your friend is a totally new concept. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you can't remember the last time you just stopped and enjoyed time with your perfect friend. Just like you might enjoy time with a close mate, you stop and enjoy time with your perfect friend. He wants to be your friend. If you've never asked him into your life, if you've never asked him to be your friend, he loves you so much that that's what he longs for. And of course, we want to make our friends happy, don't we? If they're truly our friends, we want to make them happy. And so, Jesus, we want to obey him. We want to serve him because he's the perfect friend. If you want to be a better friend, you need to know the best friend. If you want to be a better friend, you need to know the best friend. And it gets all even more amazing, because what does Jesus say in John 15, verse 13? He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Last week, Christine and I, we watched Saving Private Ryan. It's a great film. It's a war film. And you're seeing these guys that are in the army together, World War II, and they're forced to be in such close combat and to lay down their life for their friends, like take a bullet for their friends. They go through thick and thin. Their bond is so close. You think about it. I mean, is there a more amazing way to show your love for your friend than dying for them? You can't top that. You can't top that. There's no greater display of love. And God so wants to be your friend that Jesus died for you, died in your place for your sin, so that you could be friends with God. He has made us his friends through Jesus' death on the cross. That is how much he loves you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Friendship is a wonderful thing. It halves our troubles. It doubles our joys. And so let's ask God that he would make us good friends, that we'd choose our friends wisely, that we'd be intentional, because friendship doesn't just happen. That we'd be honest in speaking to people, into people's lives, and welcoming people's godly wisdom. That we'd be loyal, a friend closer than a brother. Most importantly, if you want to be a better friend, you need to know the best friend. The one who'll never fail you, the perfect friend who gave up his life for you to bring you to him. There's an old hymn. You may know it. I'll read it. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much that you love us and that you gave your son for us. And that if we trust you, you call us your friends. And we pray you would help us to be great friends. For those in the room tonight who are lonely or struggling, would you give them friendships? For all of us, would you help us to have godly friends and be godly friends? We thank you for friendships that halve our sorrows and double our joys. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus, our perfect friend. And we pray that we would follow in his footsteps, that we would love others just like he has loved us. God, we thank you that we are your friends and that we belong to you. Amen.